You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our current serial is The Bromancers, and if you're one of my Patreon backers, you can vote on what the next serial is going to be. Okay, The Bromancers, Chapter 11, Holly's Resting Witch Face. On Sunday, it rained. Camping's the worst, and camping in the rain, double worst. Only, that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was that I was sharing a tent with Juniper, and I was pretty sure she wasn't Juniper at all. Holly's list, 7 reasons to suppose that Juniper is under some kind of enchantment, or swapped for a changeling, or some equally dire situation. 1. Juniper made a new friend. 2. Juniper stopped paying attention to me. 3. Juniper didn't say thank you when I bumped up her solo piece, Stupid Songs About Victorian Novels, to number 2 in our set list, even though it was a massive compliment. Okay, I realise that those reasons all make me sound like a heinous bitch and total crazy person. But I know Juniper. She wasn't behaving any of the ways that make sense for her. No one else seemed to notice. Hebe and Sage and the rest were all wrapped up in their own drama. That left me, queen of the self-involved, following Juniper around like a lost puppy and analysing every micro-expression to prove to myself that I was right. She and her new bestie dodged me after the worst rehearsal of all time, and I didn't find them for the rest of the day. Number 4 on the list. Juniper avoided me for the rest of the day. I mean, how many red flags do you need? Oh, here's a good one. Number 5. Didn't recognise someone who clearly knew her. Remember Professor Hottie? The foxy older lady with the wicked guitar? Yeah, I'd forgotten her too. It's been a really long weekend. Anyway, she came to our show with a couple of others I recognised for that party on the beach. I saw her as we were waiting to go on stage. Juniper was holding Irene in a suspiciously exactly in character way, like she knew I was analysing every move. Then Professor Hottie, Heather, Helena, whatever, what are the odds I'll need to remember her name? Anyway, she stepped out of the crowd, eyes on me. She smiled. I went warm in the pit of my stomach because we came this close to making out on the first night of the festival, and she came to our show, and I'm super into the attention of attractive older ladies. Then Professor Hottie saw Juniper and took on a slightly frostier, less flirtatious, no less sexy expression. Professional, I realised. Juniper didn't notice. She walked straight past Professor Hottie and onto the stage. You know, I'd swear she's in one of my classes, the professor said thoughtfully to one of her friends. He laughed and nudged her. No one expects to see their professor at something like this. I remember Juniper that first night, all blushing and stammering, and you can't have her, Holly. No way she wouldn't at least give her professor a polite nod. I guess if someone was going to research Juniper Creswell, a fake geek girl, they might not go quite so far as to learn every single person she'd ever met. It was a crack in the illusion. It was a clue. It was totally time to go on stage. Number 6. It's just not her. I know it. I know it. Bad rehearsal means great show. Except when it doesn't. And yeah, that had been the shittiest rehearsal we'd been through in years. Worse than that time we got food poisoning and I threw up on Sage's drum kit. Our show today was one of the best sets we'd ever done. There was a fierce, angry electricity running through all of us and we harnessed it. Sage was on fire, almost literally. Juniper was relaxed, having fun on stage in a way that almost never happens, except sometimes, late at night, when she thinks no one is really paying attention to her. Number 7. Juniper without stage fright. What even is this bullshit? I sang my fucking heart out. When we were done, I stormed off stage, grabbed hold of little Ellie Watsit, Juniper's new BFF, who was standing too close to the steps. I stalked her like a lion around the back of the stage. "Hey, Holly, great show," she said, trying to shove me off, but my nails were sunk hard into her stupid geeky. "Hey, I had that exact same jacket." "What have you done with her?" I snarled into her face. "Where's my Juniper?" The fangirl looked shocked and innocent for about 3 seconds, and then she smiled at me, all sugar and spice. She didn't deserve to be part of the band. She wasn't even having fun. That spiked my heart a little. Was that true? Did Juniper want to leave us too? We'd barely recovered from losing Nora. Then I remembered who I was speaking to. I shook her like a rat. "Give Juniper back." Arms wrapped around me from behind, and Juniper's scent overwhelmed me. Only that wasn't Juniper's scent at all. Number 8. Juniper doesn't smell like that. She smells like expensive candles and cheap chocolate. What even is that smell? "Relax," the not Juniper whispered into my ear, her lips brushing against my earlobe. "It doesn't hurt, Holly. And we're going to have so much fun together." Darkness closed over my head and took me away. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. One of those rewards is the Fake Geek Girl prequel story, The Alchemy of Fine, which you can go and download from Patreon right now if you are a supporter at the $2 a month level or higher. So don't miss out. This story is exclusive to Patreon supporters only. It was super fun to write, and it has lots of awesome Fake Geek Girl babyface sort of bits and pieces. If you're a completist, that's where to get it. Okay, see you next week for part 12 of the bromances. It's hotting up. We're getting towards the end. Thank you all for sticking with this very long adventure. Okay, see you next week.